When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm here with my two favorite sweethearts, Christopher Mad Dog Russo and Stephen A. Smith. Our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts in Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers hosting DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls, 7:30 Eastern. Then Steph and the Warriors host Paul George and the Clippers. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7 on ESPN and the app. All right, major story. Let's dive into it. So in the 24-hour window prior to the trade deadline last Thursday, the Warriors made an unsuccessful bid to convince the Lakers and LeBron James to consider a trade to pair him with longtime rival Steph Curry, sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne. Now, the Warriors were eager to present a deal package to L.A., but neither the Lakers nor James were ultimately willing to explore a potential blockbuster trade. Here's an excerpt from Woj and Ramona's story on .com, which reads this. Buss told Lakup the Lakers had no desire to trade James, but that he would need to seek the answer on James' state of mind from his agent, Clutch Sports CEO, Rich Paul. Now, as an owner, Buss has operated with the mindset that she wants her star players content with the franchise, and that instructed her thinking on referring Warriors leadership to James' representation, sources said. We are going to bring in Brian Windhorst now. Windy, we'll get to you in just a moment, sir. Great to have you with us. Good morning. But Stephen A., I want to start with you. What's your reaction to this story and the potential teaming up of Steph and LeBron in the Bay?
I would not have loved LeBron James in the Bay Area because, to be quite honest with you, I don't like the Bay Area very much. But I would have loved to have seen LeBron James with Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God has ever created. The story that Woj reported was absolutely on point. The Golden State Warriors did reach out. In an effort to acquire LeBron James. The belief is they were definitely willing to offer Klay Thompson along with picks. The Lakers obviously would have wanted Jonathan Kuminga, which is no way in hell the Golden State Warriors were going to surrender. Having said that, LeBron James also killed it immediately because he has no desire to leave. He wants to retire a Laker. The only place that he would consider going if he were not with the Los Angeles Lakers would be the New York Knicks because of the Garden and New York and all of that stuff. But even that is a distant second to staying in Los Angeles. And as a result, it is what it is. He's not going anywhere. He's staying exactly where he is. Folks out there wanted to say that Rich Paul killed the deal. Rich Paul ain't killing the damn thing that LeBron James doesn't tell him to kill. If LeBron James tells Rich Paul he wants Rich Paul to do something, even if Rich Paul doesn't want to do it, Rich Paul is going to do what his client wants him to do. So the fact that people are pointing the finger at Rich Paul acting like he killed it, no, LeBron killed it. Because LeBron doesn't want to leave for a multitude of reasons, both personal and professional. That's where we are. Having said all of that, I regurgitate the same comment. To think about LeBron James with Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God has ever created. That would have been something spectacular to see. For Draymond to be his teammate, for LeBron to be on that squad, to have Steph Curry with Kuminga playing, and even though you're going to lose Kuminga if that happened. But to have some of the personnel, LeBron with Steph Curry would have been something spectacular to behold. No question about it. But it's not going to happen.
Well, what if I told you guys, having talked to sources on this, that LeBron and Steph have actually been thinking about playing together for months and that they actually want to play together for Steve Kerr and that that is something that they want to see happen where they can win something that will be meaningful and would engage basketball fans around the world. And that is with Team USA this summer at the Paris Olympics. That is the time that they are going to play together, assuming everybody's healthy and everybody can make it work. And that is something that they have certainly engaged on. And perhaps because of those conversations, and perhaps because of what LeBron was you know, passively aggressively doing with his tweets and his fun with the in the garden last week. I do think that in the NBA, which Ramona and Woj have reported this out on this story, there was some uncertainty about where LeBron was actually at. Even though Rich Paul came out and went on the record saying he's not going to ask for a trade and he's not going to be traded, the actions of LeBron and the play of the Lakers did leave a little bit of wonder. And so that's why this was experimented with. And you are exactly right, Stephen A. Draymond Green did, in fact, reach out to his agent, Rich Paul, not about their personal business, but about LeBron, and said, hey, where was this going to go? And Rich immediately said, no, that's not going to happen. But I actually think it behooves the Lakers. You may think it unnerved the Lakers, but actually I think it behooved the Lakers to let this get asked. Let the Warriors ask Rich Paul, because the Lakers were kind of holding the line at the trade deadline. They didn't like what their options were. And even though LeBron was pressuring them, they believed that LeBron was solid and that they didn't need to act like he was going to do something and you know, maybe walk on them. And so getting LeBron basically to recommit to them, I think only emboldened them to stick with their path, which is make the best of the roster they have now and then reexamine things in the summer. Guys, I do think that there is a little bit of uncertainty with LeBron in the summer. And I do think that he could really stretch that decision out, not just for the draft, to see what happens with Bronny, but also just to see what happens in the league. I think he wants the Lakers, when they have better opportunities, to be more aggressive. But I think he wants to be a Laker, as you said, Stephen A., and I really think he wants to play for $51 million, which is what he's contracted for next year.
I want to say this real quick before you chime in, Doggy. Number one, are you ready for this, Wendy? I'm not giving up to Jonathan Kuminga. I've been watching this year. I'm telling you right now, if I'm going to go to State Warriors, that brother's 21 years old. I'm not giving up Jonathan Kuminga. Let me get that out the way first. That's number one. Number two, I will say this. It does give you cause to pause as to whatever issues LeBron may have with the Lakers, meaning managerially, you know, from a management perspective, not Jeannie Buss. I've spoken to Jeannie Buss on several occasions. Jeannie Buss repeatedly has stated her number one priority is LeBron James' happiness. Because of what he means to the organization, what he has done to the organization, the Lakers understand. You hear the footsteps of the Clippers climbing on board. You see how they're in championship contention, about to move into a new arena. You understand? LeBron is it. And she knows it. And the Lakers pride themselves on being a franchise that takes care of their stars. That's her number one priority. LeBron ain't got no issue with her. But Pelinka, obviously, you're going to have to make some moves. You know, not necessarily make some moves, but I'm talking about into the future. You're going to have to make sure that you position him to make sure he feels like they're a legit contender.
Listen, he's played great for the Lakers, but if you look at the history of the Lakers, does LeBron barely crack the top five? He's not West. He's not good. He's not Kobe, and he's not Magic.
And Shaq,
and he's probably not Elgin Baylor. Mm.
So, no, I wouldn't say Elgin.
Elgin Baylor,
he was great. He was fantastic. But you only got one ring.
But he was also
retired.
But Elgin was a Laker.
Yes, but Elgin was phenomenal. But he didn't win.
And he was their first star. He got there from Minneapolis.
Okay.
LeBron parachuted in.
Yep.
From other locations.
But still saved the day because they were in a dormant state.
They saved the day. To what?
They won a chip.
Yeah, they won it in October in a pandemic in Orlando, Florida.
They won a chip.
Be fair.
We are being fair.
That was I'm not saying a championship isn't worthy, but I'm saying that championship's not the same as a parade in June down Hollywood Boulevard.
Cool.
Okay? They won a championship 6 months after the season was stopped. Have they been in a final since? They have not.
Okay.
Have they won a conference final game since? They got swept last year by Denver. So, in essence, I think LeBron's probably got a lot of work to do still with the Laker fandom of where he stacks historically with that fan base. And if he would have left to go play with the Warriors and Curry, there'd be a lot of people, really, LeBron? You're 39 years of age. You're the second greatest player of all time. You won championships in Cleveland, Miami. You're going to leave us again now? Really? You're 30. You got a kid at USC. Now you're going to bail out on it. I think it actually would have done harm for him. So I actually like the idea that he firmly said, I'm a Laker. And I think now he will end his career as a Laker, which is what I think we all want to see anyway. And again, to break that Laker hierarchy with fans, not with the owner, with fans, with people who go to that arena, you know, to break Kobe, Magic, Kareem. I don't know if he's going to have to win another championship there. He's going to have to win another one. He's not West. He's not Kobe. He's not Magic. He's not Kareem. He's not Shaq. And he's probably not Elgin Baylor. So, I mean, you got five or six guys. And, you know, you want me to bring up James Worthy? You want me to bring up, there's a lot of other guys.
I was getting ready to mention James Worthy.
There's a lot of guys there.
I was getting ready to mention James Worthy.
Boom. Boom.
No question.
I mean, you're going to work hard to put Magic in the top eight or nine in the history of the Lakers right now. And he may not like that, but he's only been there for 4 or 5 years. He's won one championship in Orlando, Florida, with nobody there in October. Stay put. Win there.
Okay.
Wendy, you have the final word.
Yeah, I would just say that I think part of this, and I know this isn't just as much fun, part of this was there are two teams in the Warriors and Lakers who had nothing going at the trade deadline. We're underachieving. They're 9th and 10th in the standings, and they're just trying to make something happen. If they had a real deal, either of them, this wouldn't have gone on. So, like, there's obviously all kinds of ripple effects and stuff like this, but
yeah.
The underlying thing was there are two teams that are, you know, expensive, high profile, high expectations, aging, kind of flailing around the deadline last week that, you know, leads to stuff like this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Wendy, it's certainly a fun thought experiment for us fans.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
What up? It's Roger Kruth, NASCAR driver in the Craftsman Truck Series for Chevrolet and also a senior at the Winston-Salem State University. So to me personally, to live Black history every day is just being authentic to myself and bringing our culture into the sport of NASCAR, which I've grown to love since I was a little child. Being authentic to myself, you know, on and off the racetrack and being a good sportsman and a good person, I cherish this responsibility and it's really a blessing to chase my dreams and also represent really where I'm from.
In honor of Black History Month, we provide a spotlight for difference makers in the HBCU community who are doing outstanding work. That was just Raja Karuth from Winston-Salem State, who has a special message for famous alum Mr. Stephen A.
I just wanted to say a huge thank you to First Take and Stephen A. for the nomination. But honestly, Stephen A., I wanted to say thank you for everything you've done for Winston-Salem State University and our culture because, man, you're a great example of living Black history. So we're super thankful for you. And,
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I really, really do. You know, I always get touched by stuff like that, especially from my alma mater, which means the world to me. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Winston-Salem State. So yep. I'm incredibly grateful. Grateful to everybody there. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That laid the foundation for who you are today and your successful career. And Shannon Sharp also went to an HBCU as well. And look at the two of you shining.
Something all right. Like that.
Let's pivot here back to the NFL. As we take a look at the 49ers who fell short to Mahomes and the Chiefs yet again. Kyle Shanahan has failed to capitalize in the Super Bowl in his coaching career. The Falcons blew a 25-point lead when he was the offensive coordinator. Most recently, the 49ers have blown 10-point leads in each of their Super Bowl appearances under Shanahan against the Chiefs. Shanahan addressed the media yesterday and was pressed on folding in big games. Take a listen.
When you say big games, like, we've got to win a bunch of big games to get to Super Bowls. We've won a lot of big games here. We've won a lot of big games to get into playoffs. The fact that we keep getting there shows you guys how much we've been win games or big games, and I think you guys are aware of that. But it's know, these two Super Bowls have been tough losing to Kansas City. But to say that the Niners can't win a big game would be an extremely inaccurate statement.
All right, Marcus Spears back here with us. Hey, Swagoo. Tell me this. Do you trust Shanahan to win the big games?
No. And we got to put this in context. Kyle Shanahan wants to go through a litany of games that you win in order to get to the Super Bowl. We're not judging you on that, Kyle Shanahan. Everybody, I hope everybody understands and assumes that the big game, meaning Super Bowl. First of all, let's give Kyle Shanahan credit. He's a great head coach. A phenomenal head coach, a winner by all contexts. But the big game is considered the Super Bowl because you've made the appearances there and you've had leads into the fourth quarter and lost all three of them. Now, I give a little bit of pause because that was Tom Brady and obviously Patrick Mahomes, the two greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, in my opinion. But when you are in these games and when you are 0-3 in these situations, as we watch this unfold, and you've had opportunities to win them, then we got to start questioning if you can get over the hump. And it brings us back to more questions about the quarterbacks that you've had, the situations that you're in, that you put your team in when you are in these particular situations. We talked about the 28-3 comeback with the New England Patriots. We talked about not running the football. And why would you give Tom Brady all of those opportunities by continuing to pass the ball? The first Kansas City opportunity, Jimmy Garoppolo missed a pass. That has nothing to do with Kyle Shanahan, but you still had a 10-point lead in that game. And then this game in particular, when you start talking about the overtime and taking the football, and I thought he was non-aggressive with trying to push the envelope in the second half, it has to be in question about big games when it comes to the Super Bowl. But he's right. You have to win big ones to get there, but we're not judging Kyle Shanahan on winning playoff games anymore. You've been there enough and you're 0-3 in them situations.
Listen, I thought Shanahan was a little defensive there. Don Shula, before he beat the Washington to win his first Super Bowl, had lost three or four big games. And he said, listen, I got it. I got to win one of these games. And if Shula can say it, then I'm going to buy the fact that Shanahan has to win one of these quote-unquote Super Bowl games. But I agree with Swagoo's other point. Think about this for a second. He's lost now, he can't the offensive coordinator's role, he's lost four of these kind of games in the last 5 years. He lost to Brady, he lost to Mahomes twice, and he lost to Matthew Stafford. Those are two, as Swagoo said, 1-2 all-time at quarterback, and Stafford's going to the Hall of Fame. He had Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, and Matt Ryan. So he lost. I mean, you got to give him a little break. I mean, geez. Yeah, I mean, he lost twice to Mahomes. That game the other day could have gone either way. If, in fact, that ball did not hit the punt, the blocker on the punt return, I think San Francisco wins the game. I didn't like what he did in overtime. I definitely would have kicked off first. I am not giving Mahomes any extra down under any circumstances. I know Lynch said yesterday, well, the defense was gassed, but that was not Shanahan's explanation. Shanahan said he wanted the possession in the third down, on the third possession, if there was both teams had scored, and then the Chiefs said after that, hold on, nonsense, we would have gone for two to win the game. So there wouldn't have been a third possession. So they didn't organize that properly, and there were some issues there. You could have a case with Shanahan on Sunday, but that game could have gone either way. And they lost that game because the quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. He didn't go down the field once. He went down the field twice. He went at the end of regulation, and then he goes again in overtime. And when you lose to him twice, Brady and Stafford, Shanahan's a hell of a coach. He'll win one of these eventually. Yeah, there's some things you don't love. He'll win a Super Bowl. He's a heck of a coach. I'm going to give him a pass in 2024.
I'm going to give him a pass as well. But it's something that's important that needs to be said. And it's not you play to win the game, as Herm Edwards so eloquently stated years ago. It's that if we're going to talk about greatness, we're going to talk about immortality, as you like to bring up, Doggy. If we want to bring up what the players don't do, how do we get to ignore what the coach hasn't done? There is nobody that should question the greatness of Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan is a great coach. He truly is. He's proven that time and time and time again. And I would remind everybody that when he went to those Super Bowls, his Super Bowl quarterbacks were Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he went against Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
And Stafford.
Okay? Yes, sir, and Stafford, right? And so I'm looking at it from that standpoint. Here's my issue. You got to win one of those games. You see, it's not that Shanahan lost. And this is what I want Kyle Shanahan to understand. Sir, it's not that you lost. Is that you had a 25-point lead as the offensive coordinator when you were in
Atlanta. There we go. Get to it.
And then you had back-to-back double-digit leads against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. It's not like it was nip and tuck. They scored, you scored, and, you know, there's a play here or there. You had double-digit leads in each Super Bowl you lost. And even though Dan Quinn was the head coach in Atlanta, you were the offensive play caller. It was your show. You were running things. Just like we know you're running things. We see John Lynch up there. John Lynch answers to Kyle Shanahan. Ain't the other way around. John Lynch answers to Kyle Shanahan. Everybody knows that Kyle Shanahan runs the San Francisco 49ers. You go as he says you go. And so when you have double-digit leads, not one, not two, but on three occasions with a Super Bowl championship on the line, two of those double-digit leads were in the fourth quarter. Now, the double-digit lead that you had this time around was in the second quarter, really. But the other two, it was the fourth quarter when you had those double-digit leads. You got outscored 21-0 a few years ago when you lost to Kansas City in the fourth quarter. Okay? You got New England overcame a 25-point deficit. At some point in time, it is about palms getting sweaty, backsides getting tight. Except we ain't talking about the player. We talking about the coach. Because that decision that comes into play, you talk about analytics. Nobody wants to hear about analytics at that moment in time. We understand what the analytics tell you coming into the game. But you're the play caller. You're the decision maker. You're the boss. And in that moment, with a Super Bowl title on the line, okay, knowing that Patrick Mahomes gets the ball first, and if he gets the ball first, then you understand what your situation is. And then you are the one with the ball in your hands. You could score a touchdown and elect to go for a two-point conversion. You could do a lot of different things. Knowing that, and you still took the ball first, I'm not saying that it's definitively egregious or what have you, but the questions that are being asked are highly, highly legitimate questions about Kyle Shanahan. Acknowledging his greatness, but somebody that can't close, period.
Stephen A. and Mad Dog, we got a bunch of conversations to have this offseason. And one of them that we alluded to is Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy. Now, I've already had the question, is Brock Purdy good enough for the San Francisco 49ers to win the Super Bowl? I think we believe that answer is yes, because we watched him have success in the playoffs. We looked at Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has been an MVP of this league. Obviously, he played against Tom Brady. And then, obviously, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City twice with Kyle Shanahan. Those are the questions that you have to ask. And what Stephen A. just alluded to and brought up is the point. All right? You know your quarterbacks aren't on that level. So, Mad Dog, who are we looking at to overcome that? Where do we go when we say these two quarterbacks are matched up and we know this one is going to make the plays? We know this, the coach on the other sideline has supreme confidence in the guy that's the signal caller, Andy Reid, that being, and obviously it was Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels at the time. They have supreme confidence in their guys, and rightfully so, because they two are the best to ever do it. I got a guy that can play, that's solid, but I'm going to have to help him more than these guys will need help. So that is the question we get to as well with Kyle Shanahan. And I tweeted this during the second half of this game, of the Super Bowl. I said, I don't understand why we don't see the creativity, the trying to create explosive plays from Kyle Shanahan. Now, a lot of people look at that differently. But when I looked at the game, my thought process is Pat Mahomes on the other sideline. Why are you not aggressive? Why are there not multiple shots down the field? Why isn't George Kittle getting the football? It seems that Andy Reid was able to get Travis Kelce matched up in the second half the way he needed to be in order to impact the game. See, these are the questions of why we have these conversations about Kyle Shanahan when it comes to having leads in games. And then it seems that either you become non-aggressive or like Stephen A. said, palms get sweaty and backsides get tight. That's why it's a question about the big games.
Well, think about this is what I would have done quickly, and then we'll go to a break here.
Yeah.
Second and five, 2:35 to go in the game. Mm-hmm. San Francisco ball at the Kansas City 35-yard line. McCaffrey just ran for 5 yards. Give the ball to McCaffrey two more times and say, Christian, five yards. We win the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
He threw the ball twice.
Yep.
5 yards.
Yeah.
Run behind Trent Williams. You know about linemen.
No, questionable decision.
Five yards. And the game is over. Moody kicks a kick. We're not talking about this right now.
You're so right. You know what's not a questionable decision, though? Fresh off their Super Bowl win, the Chiefs have signed their defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, to an extension today.
Well deserved.
He's done a hell of a job.
Well deserved.
My goodness. That
yes,
defense?
Indeed.
We had no idea they were going to be that good.
Yeah, good point.
Youngest defense in the NFL.
The job he's done with that defense right now, Steve Spagnuolo deserves to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the game.
100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
It's time to check in with our angriest of all the dogs.
Really drives me freaking crazy.
It's my favorite thing on television.
He's always blaming somebody else.
The man cheating.
Let me finish.
What's the matter with the jab? That is absurd.
We didn't
know
about
the start.
You didn't know about
the now. No. What?
What the?
For crying out loud, play better football. Now that drove me nuts.
Run.
Strike me down. I can't hear you. Gosh darn it. They took my headset off. It's not a smart play.
I'm worried about your blood pressure.
That bothered me.
All right, fired up. Game time, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get the energy going.
We're ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
You ready?
Let's
already got the two of you here today.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Number one, anybody see that NFL today historical look on CBS at the pregame on Sunday at 1 o'clock? They did a great job. Anybody see it?
No.
It was 60 minutes. They did a great job. So I went to look because Brent Musburger and Jane Kennedy were still alive and they were there. I went to look to see who got the Rosette Award this year. Because the Rosette Award was announced this week.
Yeah.
It was Fred Gedeli. Nobody's knocking Fred, but it was Fred Gedeli. Do you know that Brent Musburger, who founded the NFL Today, he's the first guy who put pregame analysis on any kind of television. Do you know that he has not been honored yet with the Rosette Award in Canada?
That is
unbelievable.
It is. He's an
icon. That is freaking. Listen, Brent's not everybody's cup of tea. I understand. He could probably rub people the wrong way. But Brent was not good. He was tremendous with that show. And he's the reason why we do 5,000 hours.
Yep.
He's the reason why CBS did 5 hours on Sunday. Canton, Ohio should be embarrassed. And I'm not going to go through the list of names who have somehow won that award, but Irv Cross is on it. I love Berman. He's on it. J. James Brown is on it. They're all on it. Brett started it. I can't believe it. That kid in Ohio, that was award was in the start of the 1989 when Roseau left the commissioner's job. They wanted to honor him. You must give Brett that award. He's 84 years of age. What are you waiting for? It's fine, but Joe Buck's won, Gowdy's won, Enberg won. He is the pregame. Oh, that is a disgrace. I've been meaning to say that for a long time, and Sunday at 1 o'clock when I saw it, gave me perfect fodder. That is no question about it, number one.
Let me say this to y'all both. First of all, you're right on point 1,000%. That's number one. Number two, this is why you have a younger generation that sits around and says to hell with everything. Because when you have somebody as accomplished as a Brent Musburger, and he may not be everybody's cup of tea personality-wise, that has nothing to do with the greatness he put on display. You are looking live.
Oh, yeah.
That was his opening line. He was phenomenal. There is no excuse for him not being honored
hear a
by
fun
now.
Fact before
Zero.
Swaggoo jumps in.
Yes.
First time I was ever on TV, he was filling in on College Football Live. I was reading emails, and I had to toss to him. I was a nervous wreck.
Wow.
I was shaking. All I had to do was read the email off the card. That's how old I am. Twitter wasn't even around yet.
Right.
I was a nervous wreck. Brent
Legend.
Musburger,
Legend.
Yeah, icon.
I can't Swaggoo,
Swaggoo?
What's your take on it?
Brent, I agree with you, Mad Dog. Brent Musburger called my national championship game at LSU. And then later that night, Stuart Scott called the highlights.
Wow.
Was the highlight of my college
career.
Wow.
That
Having
is incredible.
Both of those guys talk about my game and that interception that I had. And I got a chance to work with Brent Musburger. You are absolutely right. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
What is Canton doing?
You're so right. It's going to change now that you just said this.
I'm not the only one. Dan Patrick's been on this. There's been Nance mentioned it in the game.
Legends in their own right. Nance and Patrick.
They're right. Yeah. All right, here's number two. All right. I had Sean McManus, who's a wonderful guy and a tremendous president. I had him on radio on Thursday. So we talked about the Taylor Swift coverage. Sean, do you overdo it? And he gave me the statistic, and like an idiot, I bought it.
Oh, let's hear it.
In the AFC Championship game, she was on for 38 seconds. All right, that sounds like not that big a deal. This past week, because we asked, well, how much you're going to run to her? He says, well, we don't go to her too much, and here's evidence. This past week, she was on the quote-unquote, it was an overtime game, for 55 seconds. All right, doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
They went to that box 12 times! 12 times! Yeah, he only caught one ball in the first half! I'm not interested! They couldn't pick out Len Dawson out of a lineup, for crying out loud! You think they know who Curry Cope was? I mean, 10, 12 times. 12 times. He had one catch in the first half. I mean, on defense, crossing her finger. Oh, my. And listen, I understand she's a huge, huge star. And I love the relationship. I swear to God. Love the relationship. On the field, it's legit and everything else. But it's a football game. That's what it is. It is a football game. And you know what? Now you know why fans get annoyed in Buffalo and Baltimore. They think it's a conspiracy. Well, they want the Chiefs to win, so he gets all the calls because they want to capitalize on Taylor Swift. Now, that's a nonsensical thought, but fans think that way. 12 times? That's 3-4 times a quarter, for crying out loud. And they trail 3/5 of the game. Oh, my God.
She was worried. She was worried about the outcome.
Right.
She was worried about the outcome. Hey, here's all I know. All I know is over 120 million people. Wow.
Well, the overtime.
You know what? Can I just say one thing before you jump in here, Swaggoo? One thing why you can't hate on this at all. She's bringing so many more women and younger audience to the game. She really is. Look up those statistics.
You do understand that Dougie doesn't care about that.
Viewers. It's growing the sport we love.
Dougie has women in
this
household.
It's growing your wallet.
Dougie has women in this household that he doesn't want watching the game with them. I know. I was with the wife the other day. I was with him and the wife. He was like, why are you here in the old house? That's who you're listening to right now. Why are you here?
Marcus, what do you think? Was 12 times too much?
No, 12 times not too much. She's a global icon. She's one of the most recognizable people in the world.
I have no problem.
And Doggy, let me ask you a question, Doggy. What does the E stand for in the beginning of ESPN, Doggy?
Entertainment.
All right. Okay. Sports.
Even though that game was on CBS.
You guys don't like that. All right, okay.
I know it was. I'm just talking about entertainment. She is one of the best entertainers in the world.
Yeah.
Mad Dog, they're going to show her a little bit.
Spagoo jumping on. Number three. Now, you know, I've told you for weeks, you know, on Thanksgiving, Christmas tree, you know, I want to be left alone. I want to be left alone. So I had a big break on Sunday because I had nobody at home, and I was captured in my little office. And once again, and I had all sorts of bets, and I'm not talking little bets. I'm talking, we'll get to that later, big bets on this game.
Big bets.
So my wife, lovely Jeannie, decided that she was going to play some boxes with some of her friends at the liquor store, at the training center. You know, those little boxes.
Yeah.
You know, $5 a box. Well, there's not a lot of, but my wife got a little gambling itch over the weekend. So I had, she was, you know, for the most part, she was wrapped up in it. Now, here's the good thing. I didn't hear a word from her. One half of the house, I'm in this half of the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Into the overtime. Oh, my God. And here were the questions I got. She comes into the office. She says, hi, let's talk. Jeannie, it's over. Shuts the door and says, what happens if there's a tie? A tie. Jeannie, game's over. They split the Lombardi Trophy in half. They get one and the Chiefs get half and they get half. She bought it for 20 minutes, by the way. That's the one. But number two is even worse. One in overtime. And I got all sorts of bets in overtime. She says, my friend wants to know, because of the numbers, it changes. Do they kick the extra point in overtime? What? Jeannie, I don't care about the stupid boxes. I don't care about the extra point. With that 26-25, you're going to win $73.25. Nobody in America cares. And I got all upset at her.
Did you talk to her like
yes.
that?
Yes. And she shut the door, ran out, and I had to talk to her.
Man, dog, hold on. Much,
wow.
Hold on. No,
it is, it is Wednesday. It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
And you haven't spoken to the wife.
You know what? I will say, in your defense. Now, first of all, I love that she's into it. I love that she's having fun with her friends. I love any time women watch the show, watch the game, et cetera. But when you're really into something and people start asking you questions, and it is annoying. I will give you that. It is
the
worst. Like, I'm not trying to teach you football. We've only had two overtime Super Bowls in the history. This isn't the time.
What happens if they tie? Jeannie. They split it in half. The game's over.
That's messed up.
You have to talk to me. Now, you're going to find out.
So what are you going to do for Valentine's Day?
Well, you're
going to
find out a little later why I was doubly upset, because I'm going to show you the plays that I had.
Okay.
And you're going to say, well, now I really get it.
But how are you going to make up for it now that you're in the doghouse?
I told her, I said, honey, I texted her. She's not talking to me. I said, would you like to go out for a couple of cocktails tonight at the Roger Sherm?
Oh, a couple of cocktails?
6 o'clock. He said, I'll let you know.
Oh! That's my girl. Keep him on ice.
Well, let me ask you this. Before you move on, let's ask Molly this question.
Yeah.
Because I'm willing to bet. Why is it that when ladies...
Yeah.
Want to interrupt you at those worst moments, like when you're watching something, you're into something.
Yeah.
You not only talk to the man, you actually block the view.
Oh, always.
It's like you put the face in the view.
Always.
You block the view. Why do you do that?
You need the eye contact. You're trying to say, like, nothing's more important than us.
Block the TV.
Nothing's more important
Why?
Than us. You got the eye contact.
We're trying to talk. And I got
time to break
out if they kick the extra point.
And it's not just women.
Should pause the game.
It's not just women. It's like,
I can't pause it. I got to see it live.
It's not just women. It's like you're born in it. My daughters are children, and they do it.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you in my face? Could you move out the way?
Oh,
I don't get it. Like, you're born with it. It doesn't make no sense.
Anyway,
so
I had a lot more to give you. I was going to throw you the Green Bay 65, 66, 67.
No one cares about that anymore. I'm going to do a tell them why you're mad about games in the 50s.
Mad dog.
Yes,
Mad dog. How much was she going to win? How much was she going to win playing the little boxes?
$73. Not a lot. And believe me, I bet a little more than 70.
Yeah, we know. You probably had 10 racks.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
All time great, the greatest ever at his position. Top five in the world. I mean, top five ever. You know, so you give him a look like that for the game, he is licking his chops.
All right. Mad Dog, you just heard KD.
Top five ever.
All time. You agree?
No. How do I make him top five ever when I got Kareem, Wilt, and Russell, and LeBron and Jordan? That's five right there. I didn't give you Magic. I didn't give you Bird. I didn't give you Duncan. I didn't give you Shaq. I mean, how in the world could he be top five? He's not even better than Durant. And I'm going to have trouble putting Durant in the top 10. Listen, he's a nice shooter. Nobody's arguing with that.
A nice shooter? That is disrespectful and that is messed up.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Let me interject.
He's an amazing shooter.
Let me interject because this is a quick second. I get where you're coming from. Here's what, in all seriousness, first of all, I don't put Wilt up in there as phenomenal as he was because he has two titles to Bill Russell's 11, and they were nemesis. So I look at it from that perspective, but I get what you're saying. Here's the only part that I want you to understand, and it's just a consideration. No, he may not be top five, but he's the greatest shooter on earth. He's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. When you consider his range, how you have to guard him from the time he steps past half court. And a defense has to put its head on a swivel. I know that Magic Johnson is the greatest quintessential point guard who ever lived. But when you talk about impact from that position, because of what he creates, the fear, the fright that he implements, that he invokes, because of his marksmanship, I think that you have to look at it from that perspective and easily have him as top 10.
Easily?
Yes, because of the impact he has on offense, because of the range and how accurate 40% career shooter, 41% shooter from three-point range, and he could pull up from 40.
You got a series to win for your life.
Right.
I gave you a choice. Curry or Bird?
Game winner?
No, to win the series. Okay. Four games to get one shot. Because I'd agree with you about that.
Okay, you know what?
You got to take Bird.
I'm going to tell you what I say all the time. I'd give Bird the last 2 minutes almost against
anybody. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about overall. Is that overall?
I got to look at Curry too. All right. Well, Bird was a bad brother and big and could do more things. I get that. But I'm just talking about the impact of Curry's shooting ability and what havoc that causes. How do we ignore that as basketball people?
He's a wonderful shooter. I'm not disputing that. But from an overall perspective, you want to put him in the top 10 in the history of the league.
But it's not just about shooting. It's not just like literally just shooting. You literally have the fear of God in you from the time he courses mid-court.
I understand that.
And that compromises defenses all over the place and opens up the floor for other people around you because you're worried about him pulling up from 40. We've never seen this. Never. Never. That's the difference.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nice little shooter. Be ashamed of
you. Nice little shooter.
Coming up.
Some wonderful,
absolutely marvelous lady just texted me from a 203 area code to say to me that Mad Dog Russo's interpretation of how things went down this weekend was, quote, not quite how it
happened. Oh, I know 203, because that's my zip code.
I just want to
say Haven County.
No, I didn't want to say
Fairfield,
but I just want to say this. But
no, 203 is New Haven County.
But same. Now, you hear, follow, you're funny. All of a sudden, you got relationships. I got to be careful.
Okay, how'd you do with those bets?
Look at these bets. Now you know why I got ticked off by getting interrupted.
Yeah.
I had McCaffrey over 4.5 receptions for San Francisco, a prop bet, South Point last week. I won that.
Okay.
And the other one I won easy was Watson, who had 16.5 yards. But look at the other three. They all occurred in overtime. I needed Kansas City to convert a fourth down without a penalty. What does he do on a fourth and one in OT? He runs around the right end. I won a huge bet. And then I had Kansas City on two parlays. So I had a money line, no points. So, and I also had Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes.
Hey,
so what happens on the last play of the game? He threw a touchdown pass. So on the last play of the game, I won four bets. And I got my wife walking in.
Hey,
what happens when they kick the extra point?
Listen to me. I'm so excited you won four bets.
Five.
But Jeannie's texting Stephen A. So what's the game plan here to address the situation?
You know,
you should not so happy on TV.
You stay out of it.
You better go straight
to... What are you doing?
Listen.
I'm not going to the flower show.
Saks Fifth Avenue, Bergdorf Goodman. You need some other... You want me to go with you? I'll help you pick it out.
100 flowers. I better get going.